The Lynx is back home where it belongs in the Upper Peninsula, but what an interesting journey this animal has had. It was almost mythical, the proportions to which sightings of this animal had been in Sanilac County, and even in St. Clair County, some people saw what they thought might have been a lynx or some kind of a wild cat. Joining us right now is DNR wildlife biologist John Depew. John, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. I appreciate you joining us. So tell us a little bit about the journey of this lynx.
Right. So, you know, as you know, and you've been following the story, it was initially caught in Sanilac County and taken to the Detroit Zoo. So it had some injuries. And I guess initially we'll back up. We had some reports of potentially maybe the lynx exhibiting some behavior that people are questioning, that maybe it was habituated or something like that. And then it was getting to a farmer's geese. And so then we, with the Fish and Wildlife Service and DNR, decided if we had the opportunity to capture this cat to make sure it was healthy and ensure that it wasn't maybe a release to someone's exotic pet.
Yeah.
So we did that, and we housed it in partnership with the Detroit Zoo, and they cared for it, and you know, had some minor injuries that were addressed. We took during that time, they took a blood sample, and we sent the blood sample off to the U.S. Forest Service National Genomics Center, so that we could then have a comparison of their DNA. You know, so our question was from a DNR perspective, mm-hmm. and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, is this a potential exotic animal, or is this a disperser from the wild? And it turns out when we got the test results back from the U.S. Forest Service, is that high probability that the genes are very related to the Great Lakes population of lynx, and the closest population is in Minnesota, and the genes the probabilities aligned with that. So with that information, you know, then we knew it was a wild lynx. It's known. We know that lynx can have these very long migrations or distributions, or even though they'll just wander for hundreds of miles and then come back seasonally. So it was in the best interest of, from our perspective, for this wild cat to be returned to the wild.
Right.
So it was in the zoo while we made the decision, and they fed it. It was in good health, and so then we kind of, as a team with the Detroit Zoo folks, DNR biologists, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, you know, our next mission was how do we determine where to put this thing in Michigan? And so we have some data on hair densities, and so we had several criteria to find the best habitat that had high prey densities, low road densities, large blocks of continuous forest of state-owned land, you know, few roads and not near towns and people. So we found that here in the UP in Schoolcraft County. And last week, folks from the Detroit Zoo met us, DNR staff, kind of halfway in the northern lower, and we brought the animal up here to Schoolcraft County, and myself and a couple other biologists released the cat, and it released like just like lynx should release. It was a healthy, good-looking cat, and it was an awesome experience.
I bet it was. That's got to be an incredible moment when you're able to release the animal back into the wild where it belongs like that.
Yeah, it really is. So I've worked with lynx in the past, and so it was great to see lynx again. But certainly anytime, you know, this kind of story where we have a wild animal maybe doing some things that it was, you know, wandered into a more populated area, we could take it and move it to a place and release it back. You know, it's a wild animal. It belongs back in the wild. And we were able to do that. And this is a big success story, right? So, we put it in good habitat. The animal's really healthy. And so as for wildlife biologists, I mean, this is what we do. My colleagues, you know, excited to work with species that we don't get to work with very often. And then to return it back in the wild was really special. It's really exciting.
It really is. That's fantastic. Great end to this story. So it sounds like this particular animal, it's not that unusual for it to wander, as you said, hundreds of miles away from its normal habitat. So it just kind of started walking and ended up here in the thumb somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. And we don't know the direct path of how it ended up in the thumb, but certainly, yeah, we have records. There's been radio collar links in other parts of the country in North America that we know that they'll go on these long either distribution or just like seasonal movements.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not unusual. Every once in a while, as you know, we have mountain lions that disperse from the western populations that roam through Michigan. So it just happens to be that this rare, it's very rare that they show up in Michigan or that we have evidence of them, right? So it might be, they're pretty elusive critters. And so it might be that every once in a while there's another one, but we just don't have interaction or see it, right, or evidence of it through tracks.
Are there going to be any attempts to track this particular animal, or is he just back where he belongs and end of story?
Yeah, he's back where he belongs. There was, we considered a radio collar, but the difficult thing with radio collars is, they're kind of expensive, and two, we to order one takes 6 to 8 weeks, and we felt it was best to not house the loon for 6 to 8 weeks in the zoo, and the cost benefit of keeping in the zoo for such a long time versus letting it go back to where it belongs when it was healthy and in good conditions on the ground. So we felt it was the best for the lynx to go ahead and release it.
Oh, that's great. It's a great ending to what's a pretty spectacular story. Like I said, there were a lot of people reporting that they had seen this thing around here, and to have it verified to be such a rare find and then to put it back where it belongs, it's just a great story all the way around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, it's great that folks are interested and they did have the ability to see lynx. Lynx, their behavior, they're similar to bobcats, but they're a different species, and they do behave and act a little bit differently than lynx or bobcats do, in the sense that we know in other states where there are prevalent and robust lynx populations that they're not quite as skittish as bobcats, right? So they'll provide, they're not, they don't not run off and dash into the woods when people see them. So they're a little bit more photogenic in the sense that people can, they'll pause and or not run off and people can get pictures of them. So that's exciting that the public is interested in lynx and conservation of the lynx and here in Michigan.
I'm looking at a picture of a beautiful animal, really, really pretty.
No, they are beautiful animals. Yeah, they're very cool. So as I mentioned, they're a different species. They are specialists in deep snow, right? So they have large paws. They have really long legs and large paws. So the amount of weight that they distribute, it's like they're wearing snowshoes on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
So they're one of the main predators of snowshoe hares.
Uh-huh.
Right, because they can get around in the deep snow. They have longer legs than bobcats, and they have big paws, furry feet, so they stay on top of the snow a little bit better. And they're designed to be in this. And the UP is big deep snow country, and where we have good populations of snowshoe hares and cottontails and beaver and other things that they eat. So yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty exciting.
Very cool indeed, John. We appreciate you talking about it. Thanks for your time this morning.
Glad to do it.
All right, take care.